Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit and creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And today we have a very special guest. Her name is Emma Lynn Dowd. And I met Emma when I was talking to her about her syndicated broadcasting network, AMFM 247 Broadcasting. And we're going to be talking about that today. Emma has a very, very interesting story, and she's out to help other people who have a similar story. So without further ado, we have a very special guest. Her name is Emma Lynn Dowd. Paige, welcome.
Hey.
Hey. So thanks for being here today. Oh, I forgot to say, Emma is an artist, an entertainer, a YouTuber, and an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Emma, for all you do for the world. So, well, let me go back to when I first talked to you. You had told me the story about how you were working with a friend of yours on this network, right? The AMFM 247. And he passed away, right?
Yeah, he did in 2020. Kind of unexpected, too, because we weren't expecting it. He was going in for simple surgery, never got off the table, really.
Wow. And so then you decided to just take over the broadcasting network, right?
Kind of. I mean, we were partners. I was the technical end of it, and he was the business end of it. And unfortunately, his wife ended up having to take over upon him being incapacitated for a few months and unable to function. And then when he passed away, she really didn't want it to do. She didn't really want it. It was a lot. It's a lot of work if you don't really know what you're doing. It can be quite complicated. And so she just said, here, take it. And so she gave it to me, and I've been running it ever since.
Wow. So that's 4 years already. And it's doing well, right?
It is doing well. Yeah. I mean, I've been kind of incorporating different things to it, not just radio. I wanted to build one of my biggest inspirations is Disney. I love how he literally went through and did what should not have been able to be done at that time. He revolutionized the industry. He made it through the Great Depression with very little money at all, and he turned it into an empire. And so I wanted to have my own broadcasting and media company. So I am trying, I'm starting up a brand new web magazine called Deco Magazine, which is art, music, entertainment, lifestyle, you name it. If it's something to do with traveling, nightlife, fashion, anything, it's going to be a part of that. So I just finished the styling for that, and we're going to start that. Trying to get in more stations, trying to create even some of my own original content, and so it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really hoping that this thing will turn into what he envisioned for me and what I envisioned for my dreams and my goals.
Oh, you mean your friend, the one that passed away? Oh, and so what was his vision? Was that what it was?
His vision was just to create a network that didn't have censorship to it, because he had a show, and it was more independent with anything, either which way. He didn't really care. But at one point in time, it did start to turn a little bit more to the center, to the right and stuff. And so pretty much anything he said on the internet or on his radio show, it was being censored by shows all across the United States, because the FCC, they want to regulate what you can hear. And so even if he wasn't wrong, it wasn't to the narrative. So they ended up censoring him. So we made our own network. And that's pretty much the inspiration behind that, was not having anybody physically be censored for what they want to say or believe in, as long as they're not hurting anybody or promoting hate or abuse towards anybody. And that's where AMFM 247 came, which I'm still going with that today, because I believe in that too. My family fought to fought to help this country and even define the country since the Revolutionary War. And so we believe in free speech. And as long as you're not attacking somebody, as long as you're not physically trying to incite violence against somebody, if you want to talk about something, I don't care. You know, it's how you see it. And I do believe, and I think it's a big ideology that needs to be there, is that if we hear both sides of the story, we can make a well-rounded decision. And it's okay to change your decision based upon what somebody else has to say, because it might make more sense. And we want you to see X, Y, and Z and put it together for yourself.
I love that. That's awesome. I'm all about freedom of speech. So yay. Yes. And this is called Getting Real. So sometimes we talk about things that aren't widely talked about. So let's go to your story. Is that okay?
Yeah,
I know we could talk about she followed rock band, she's an artist and all that kind of stuff. But I think the story that people don't normally talk about is that she was born with I'll let you say.
I was born intersexed. And sometimes intersex kids are easily identified. Sometimes they're not. And for me,
Emma, just because I didn't know what intersex mean, can you just tell the audience what that actually means?
Intersex is a new form, which is not it's now the PC version or the preferred version of hermaphrodite. And so technically the reason that they did that is because we're not technically born male and female at the same time. There are some cross reactions to it. It could be chromosomal. It could be with your genitals. It could be a bunch of different things. You could have a little bit of both. In fact, I knew a girl that just found out she had testicles up inside. She had XXY chromosomes. So technically she was more female, but they still consider her a male, even though she developed female with female stuff too. For me, it was a little bit different. For me, I was born 46XX chromosome with CAH, which is congenital adrenal hyperplasty. I believe that's what it's called. I never get the wording quite right. But basically, that means I produce androgen, too much androgen, which is essentially testosterone. And we don't quite know what caused this, but I know I had a twin. And the twin died at before we were born. So there's a good possibility that a lot of this came from maybe absorbing the embryo of my brother. And so therefore I could have it that way. Don't have any proof of that yet. But I do have a tumor on my pituitary gland. And so it produces more testosterone, which allowed me to have ambiguous genitals. And it allowed me to pretty much look male or female, however I want to look. And I was raised male. So that's kind of how I grew up and things I had to deal with, which was not an easy task, to say the least.
So I know your name, it was Jason then, and you grew up. So you grew up as a boy, you went to boys' locker rooms, you went to everything boy, right? Mm-hmm. Now you had said when you were born, they chose that, but you really weren't a boy. You were really more female. Like, would there have been any way that they would have known that you were more female at that time?
Chromosome test, which they really didn't do back then when you're an infant. The other thing that they could do would be to do an ultrasound of your body to find out if you have female organs or not. But the logic between that is that generally, if you are born intersex, you're born sterile anyway. So the idea that I would be even to entertain the notion of having a working uterus, let alone fertile eggs, is slim to none. It's even more rare than anything else. So I was pretty much destined to be fertile or infertile. And so at that point in time, it really didn't matter if they sewed me up or not and did anything to the genital. The only thing that would have been a problem is, and they are right about this, if they had made the mistake and turned me female and I wasn't female, it would be almost impossible for me to go backwards, because in order to get that the male genital, they have to take a lot of your skin, like from about here to here, they strip it all the way down, almost to the bone, and then they create the male genital from such skin. And unfortunately, you're forever maimed on your arm, and it doesn't work, really, for the most part. It does not work at all. So it would have just been cosmetic. And it's easier to go male to female than it is to go female to male. So they just said it makes logical sense.
Okay, so because I'm wondering, I'm thinking that people might. So when you say intersex, did you have a penis and a vagina?
Bits and pieces of each. It could have gone either which way because it wasn't fully developed.
Okay. So they decided to sew up the female part and you had what you had. Now, when you were in the locker rooms, did people look at you? Did they, you know, was it weird or it was just, you were just a normal boy?
It was weird for me. It wasn't weird for them because I never let them know. When I first of all, I never, ever went without pants in some way, shape or form. Nobody ever saw me in underwear. I never took a shower with any other kid. I wore really extra baggy clothes so that way you couldn't see my body and what it looked like. So there was absolutely no way in God's green earth that I was going to let anybody see what I had down there. And so even when I changed in locker rooms, I would always come with, like, you remember those like 80s basketball shorts that just look really way too small for guys? I would wear something like that underneath my pants. So when I was out in PE, I would just pull my actual pants down over the shorts that were already on there and it looked like I dressed out, which I did, but I didn't dress out either.
Now, did you have friends? Did you tell anybody?
I didn't tell. No. I didn't know until I was in 96. So I was 18 going into my junior year.
You didn't know what?
I didn't know I was intersexed.
But
I knew something was wrong with me up here, and I thought it was more being gay than anything else. I noticed some weird things too. Like I would look around at the other kids in school, and even in ninth grade, a lot of the kids started growing mustaches and like little facial hair and stuff. And that, you know, they would go work out and they would get, you know, absolutely ripped and they had better energy than I did. They had hair on their bodies. And I was always being made fun of because I never had hair. I had no leg hair. I had no armpit hair. I had no face hair until I started taking testosterone in 96 to stop the female development. And that's when I found out what was going on. I just thought I was a late bloomer, but I really had no body definition until basically I started taking hormones.
Okay. So 90s. So how is that when you were 18?
Yeah, I was turning 18 that year. I graduated when I was 19. Basically, when I moved from Connecticut down to here, school starts in September, and I had to be born before, I think, September sometime to be in the grade I was in. So up in Connecticut, I was in sixth grade. Down here, they put me back in a fifth grade, even though I had the grades to go into the to stay in sixth grade down here, but they decided not to do that. So they put me back, and so when I got to graduating, I was actually 19.
Okay. Now, so your parents never said, hey, this is what happened when you were born. They just pretended. Wow. And did you have siblings?
I did.
And just.
They're younger. So, I mean, I was already 3 years older than they were. So, yeah, they wouldn't have known.
Wow. So you just thought, so when you thought you were gay, who did you like? Did you like the boys?
Yeah. I did. And see, that was the thing, because it's like, I had no interest in girls at all. And I just wanted their friendship, and I wanted to go out and do what they did. And I wasn't allowed to go out and do what they did because, you know, even kind of like when you start to date, like sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade nowadays, it's, you're kind of getting over that cootie phase. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, the guys thought I was weird. So none of them really wanted to hang out and, you know, do things with me because I was just weird, but I really wasn't weird. I just was trying not to let them know that I felt female. And my first reaction was to go with emotion when I talked. You know, if we were going to do something, I'd be like, oh God, if somebody gets hurt, what's your parents going to say? And they'd be like, oh God, stop being such a chick. You know, please, let's just go out and do this. So we did. And the only way that I could get close to them was doing things that they didn't know if they would survive it. So I would do it. Like, we would go down and jump a ramp with a bicycle, and it was sketchy at best, but they're always like, hey, Dowd will do it. And so I did. And if I stuck it, everybody come up and give me a big hug afterwards. So I got my hug. But at the same time, if they didn't, I went to the hospital. So either which way, it was a win-win. I'm getting something win-win, or, you know, win or lose. So that was kind of hard for me to deal with, but I still dealt with it. You know, I never felt like a victim. I never felt like this, but I just knew something was weird. And so dating was tough, and I didn't want to date anybody. And a lot of the times they would just go out and write a girl a note, sign my name to it, and give it to these girls. And they would come up and they're like, no. I'm like, what do you mean? No, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're, they're like, your letter. I'm like, who the heck? I could always tell who wrote it because of the handwriting, but at the same time, it was not me, but they were trying to help me out. They were trying to be my wingman type thing, but
yeah,
just not good. So at that point in time, I started to basically pay girls, or would give them something in return for saying that they were my girlfriend for a little bit, just to get the guys off my back thinking I was gay.
Oh my God. So that was all during high school. Wow. But so, okay. So you never knew the thing about the intersex or any of that. And when did that, like, how did you find, I mean, didn't your parents know, or they just figured they weren't going to tell you and keep it under the rug, or they forgot about it? Like, what do you think was going on with them?
I think nobody would ever think that I would find out. But at the same time, it's kind of weird. Okay, so basically my junior year, my freshman and my sophomore year, I went kind of hard with grades, but my junior year, I was going to push it. I was taking all advanced classes. I was going through dual enrolling in school and not only high school, but college at the same time. I had a job. And so I was really trying to build up my resume for school so I could take my senior year and just kind of slide. You know, my first three was hard. My last one was just walking around the track. And so what I ended up doing was, I think I overextended myself and I started having these really bad stomach pains, or what I thought was a stomach pain. I thought I was giving myself an ulcer. And so I'm like, okay, I put it off. And then I just couldn't take it anymore because it would get better. Then it would go away, get better and go away. And so, and then right around the end of the summertime, which was the summer of 96, I started realizing I had pain in my chest when I would lay down. I always used to lay on my stomach when I would sleep, and it would give me pain. And so one day I felt it and I realized, oh my God, I got lumps under there. So I thought I had breast cancer or something. I have always been a very, very, very quiet person. I don't really get out and talk to people. I don't tell people what's wrong with me. I just do it. And so I went to the doctor because I had, at this point in time in November, I was 18. I had insurance, didn't have to worry about much of anything. So I made an appointment with the doctor, went after school, and they found out that the lump was not cancer, thank God. But he said, it is your milk glands developing, your mammary glands. I'm like, huh? He goes, are you taking any hormones or anything? I'm like, no, I'm not taking any hormones. So he goes, okay, this means further testing. So then they tested my hormones. And when my hormones came back, my levels were at a normal level for a female, but elevated testosterone levels underneath it, not enough to physically give me the full development that I wanted. And so they're like, oh, okay. Something.
The full development of a
male or female.
Or either one. Okay.
Basically, if the testosterone was lower, I would have already at that point in time, way before my junior year, my 18th birthday, developed breasts and everything else.
But okay. That's
why I was so late. Because of the fact that it came out so late, because the testosterone is almost at like a 100 or 120, and my estrogen was at 190. So very close together. And that's why it started to actually develop the secondary female development. So they said, okay, let's do one more test. And they did an ultrasound on me, and the ultrasound came back that I had a uterus. And they're like, oh, you're intersex. At the time they called it hermaphrodite. So right. I'm like, oh, okay.
You never got your period or anything, right? Not enough for that.
Okay. That's what the pain in my stomach was. It was a period that was starting to happen. And so they said, okay, well, we could do two things. You can do nothing and just let it go. But he goes, you didn't take PE, because I told him I didn't take PE. And he goes, there are going to be things by the time you get to that point that you won't be able to hide. I'm like, oh, okay, that's fair. And then he said, if you take testosterone, it will pretty much stop the periods from happening. You may get one or two here and there, but it won't be hardly anything at all. And he goes, it will help you develop your secondary male characteristics, which would be the hair on the face, the muscles, and everything else. I'm like, okay. So I took this into consideration. I went and talked with my school guidance counselor, and he basically said this: it would be very irresponsible of me at this point in time in my life to come out and tell everybody that's already known me for 11 years that I was a female. And you're already bullied really badly in school anyway. So you know this is going to cause more trouble down the line. He goes, I can't decide for you, but this is your reality. I'm like, okay, I guess you're right. So I went back to the doctor and I told him I would take the testosterone. They were giving me one shot every other week for a little while because it was so, it was a big, heavy, concentrated dose. And since I had testosterone inside of me already that was elevated, it wouldn't need as much as somebody else that was needing the hormone therapy where you got to take it every day. And what that did was it started to give me hair on my chest, hair on my face, hair on my legs, hair under my underarms. It stopped the period. And they said, don't worry, if you change your mind, you can reverse it. So I'm like, okay. So I got out of school. As I started going through my senior year, I started having problems where I was really sick, I'm very tired, couldn't hold things with it. I was having all kinds of issues. And I attributed that to the testosterone. So when I got out of high school, I stopped the testosterone and I was going to figure out what I wanted to do then. Do I want to let my body be who it's supposed to be or continue on this path? But seeing how sick I got on the testosterone, I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. The problem with it was that testosterone impacted the pituitary gland and my endocrine system, which then altered my testosterone. So even without the shots, my testosterone went up to about 400 without taking any shots, way below what a man should have, but way more than a woman should have. So at the time, it was keeping everything at a status quo. I could literally not shave for 3 years and it looked like I had like a 5 o'clock shadow. And that was about the best I'd get. So it was a very weird experience, to say the least. And so I figured that's how life's going to be. You know, they lied to me. I'm screwed. I don't have the money to do all these surgeries. So this is as good as it's going to get, and just went and did it. And eventually that changed.
Went and did what? Did you stop taking the testosterone, so you were just stuck there?
Yeah, I didn't get any better. I didn't have any more development, but I could never put on muscle, you know, and I always had a very petite frame. It did change my face. It did change my voice. It changed a couple other things that I can't physically get back. But at the same time, it's not as bad as some other people could have been. You know, mm-hmm. I've seen some people that have gone through transitions and they completely destroyed. They'll never come back. That's too far gone. And I'm lucky I'm not that type of a person. I still have some looks to me and some of my feminine features that I had before, which is good.
So when you say destroyed, how were they destroyed?
Well, to give you an example, I watched a individual that was a transgender that went from female to male and then detransitioned. The problem with it is that it caused extreme male pattern baldness. She's bald up to here, very deep voice, very masculine face, and even if she took estrogen at this point, there's no.
So she went
helping it.
So she went from a female to a male, and then decided to go back,
mm-hmm.
and that's what was destroyed, was her original self.
Because she looks like a man, no matter how she looks and no matter what she says, she looks like a man. And I'm lucky that didn't happen to me.
Like, what do you think? I mean, just for other people who may be considering it, you know, obviously she felt like she wanted to be a man. And then what made her decide to go back? Do you know?
Yeah, she was basically coerced into believing that she was something she wasn't by her school and peers. And so when she went and did what she did, because she was just basically a little socially awkward, completely a wrong decision. At best, she would have been a lesbian because she was more of like a tomboy, but still liked to look like a female. And so basically throughout that particular time, they convinced her that she was a male, went and did what she did, and realized, oh, they were wrong. I was wrong.
And who was the they that was telling her that?
School peers, social media, teachers, stuff like that.
They would actually tell a girl, you're really a man.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it down here in Florida. I've seen it in a lot of different places. This is a really growing problem. And that's one of the reasons I like to speak out about it, because, like I said, I'm intersexed. I have a different type of chemical makeup. I have different types of features that could go both ways. But for other people, they don't. And so there's a lot of health risks that people just say, ah, that doesn't happen. It does. They just don't want to admit it. And so this is why I like to tell people, it's okay to just be a tomboy. It's okay to be a feminine man. It's okay if you don't fit the gendered norms. Does not mean you're a woman. Does not mean you're a man in the wrong body. It just means that you have different likes and takes. But the gender dysphoria is what brings you to that. And that's what a lot of people don't have. They're not gender dysphoric at all. And what I've been realizing is that there's...
All right. Can you just explain what gender dysphoric means?
Yeah. Okay. So let's just picture yourself as a woman. Whoever's listening to this, you're a woman, grew up as a woman, but you really cannot stand a woman's body. And so when you go into the bathroom, every time you take off your clothes to pee or shower, the sight of your breast and your genitals literally sends you into a panic attack to where you can't move. And you don't want to go outside. You want to present as something else. And that is really what brings it down to it. You're not born in the wrong body. You just don't see yourself correctly up here. Now, there is another term called autogynephilia, which is essentially a term of cross-dressing where they get sexually aroused by seeing themselves as the opposite sex. And a lot of the people that are transitioning are autogynephilia. And what they do is they like to see themselves as the opposite sex. They want to be that opposite sex, but at the same time, they don't realize that when you go on these hormones, it really does stop your sexual desires and drives. So they end up doing all of this stuff and going, oh my God, I'm not normal anymore. And now they try to go backwards. And that's because of the fact it's so easy to call yourself trans. If you wanted to tomorrow morning, you can wake up and say, I'm a trans man. Without any transitioning, walk into a man's bathroom and they have to accept it depending on where you are. You could go right up to Planned Parenthood and say, hey, I'm a man, give me testosterone. And they'll do it. They will do it without no questions asked. And I know what the haters say because I've heard it, but that is absolutely crap because I see it on so many people. Just look at YouTube, look at TikTok. There are people that are detransitioners that did the same thing. No mental barrier at all. They just, I'm transgender. I'm going to go become a man today. And it's that simple.
So in the old days, like there were plenty of cross dressers, these guys that, I mean, I knew a guy, he sewed his dresses, he wore his dresses, but it wasn't about becoming a woman. Yeah. Like when did it become fashionable or cool to like totally distort your body? Like what do you think is behind that? Why?
It's been there for a while. I'll tell you that it's been around for a while, but it's become a fad. And that's the problem. Within the last 10 years, it's become overly abundant in the marketplace out there. Buck Angel, who I'm friends with, he was a female to male transgender, has his own radio show. I think he said over 40 years ago he transitioned. And I mean, that's a long time.
He went from female to male.
Mm-hmm. And remarkably well looking. For a transgender person, I mean, you could not tell. And that's pretty amazing. But at the same time, so it's been around a long time. It's been around for centuries, actually. but it just wasn't as easily done back then. Now, probably in the last 10 years, I'm thinking that's about really when the height of it has gone. It's really kind of interesting because I saw this study on, it was like a little chart graph and stuff on Gays Against Groomers, and they took the Greatest Generation, the baby boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, and put them all together. Over the last 10 years, basically, the Greatest Generation is about 10 to 15% identify as LGBTQ. Boomers, about 20%. Gen X, which is my generation, about 30%. And then millennials, who basically what started going into school a little bit later, like in the late 1990s and stuff like that, when transgenderism was coming out, they're at about 12 to 14% identifying. And in Gen Z, it's over 35%. Now, what is the factor there? If this is something that's always been around, those numbers should all be about equal per generation. But what I'm seeing is in the last 10 years, when we really started to push gender ideology in school, that being gender fluid or transgender or gay, sexual, what have you, bisexual, those are being pushed in schools now. And the millennials were the first to get it, but they didn't get the full extent of it like the Gen Zs are now. And so the Gen Zs are almost double that. And that's the trend that I'm seeing. And that's what I think is the most alarming part of that whole scenario. They've also come out
Hold on. Yeah. Well, we got to go to commercial, but I just have to ask, why would this be being pushed in school? Why is that any of the school's business? Like, why are they even talking about this?
It shouldn't. It has absolutely zero impact on their education. It has nothing to do with reading, writing, arithmetic, history, science, nothing. I don't know why they're pushing it, but I do see a lot of teachers almost just pick up TikTok and just do LGBTQ teachers. There are thousands of videos of them being transgender or being gender fluid, and they like to talk about that to their children, which I guess they want to be affirmed. So to affirm yourself, you have to educate them on it and then go for it. But I don't know. I don't care what a 4-year-old thinks of me. If they think of me as a boy, girl, or whatever, it means nothing to me. And right. That's, I think, one of the most alarming parts of it is that it's really infiltrating our school. But in the long run, yes, you can detransition. However, you have like a 50 to 60 or even 70% chance of being infertile. And it's not a guarantee that you're infertile, but a 20%, if you had a 100% chance of being fertile and now you got a 20% chance, that's a big market and that can actually keep you from populating. So I have a feeling some of this kind of has it's like an involuntary sterilization program.
Whoa.
That's my opinion.
That's frightening. Wow.
That's my opinion. I can't say that for sure, but I've heard a lot of theories on that.
Whoa. Okay. All right. Let's go to the commercial break and then we'll come back. Wow. This is quite the conversation. Okay. And I have other questions, of course, but okay. Let's come back. We'll see you in a minute.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. KIKORI.
Do you ever feel like you can't say what you really want to say? Or that you're stuck or in a holding pattern in your relationships, career, personal life, or finances? Are there things you want in life that you've given up on? Are you resigned that this is as good as it's going to get? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Hillary Burns, host of the Getting Real with Hillary Show, has the solution you need. Hillary is a published author of 3 books and has a program called the Getting Real Process. This process frees you from what is holding you back allowing you to create a life you love. Don't believe it? It is hard to believe that it could work, isn't it? The proof is that hundreds of Hillary's clients have used the Getting Real process and are now free to create whatever they want in relationships, career, finances, enjoying life, or just loving themselves more. So go to realtalkwithhillary.com and order Hillary's book, Real Talk, and set up a conversation.
Thank you, as always, to Kikori Experiment. If you want to bring experiential social-emotional learning to your schools, definitely contact KikoriApp.com and have a conversation with Kendra or Haley. They are really doing amazing things for having children be more social and connected and secure. That's what we're talking about today, being more secure in who they are. So anyway, contact them. If you don't think you can speak up about something that you're going through, that's where I used to be. My book, Real Talk, has a process. Definitely reach out to me and we will help you get free. You can contact me at Hillary with one L at gettingrealwithhillary.com. There's no judging. You can talk about whatever, and we will move you to the other side of freedom. And now we have a fascinating conversation with Emma Lynn Dowd, who we're just going to keep talking. So come on back, Emma. All right. Wow. So when you say, okay, there's a couple terms I don't know, gender fluid and even transgender. Like, there's so many words out there that I don't know what they mean. What is fluid, and why are these people? I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about these teachers. You can be whatever you want, but why are they influencing our kids? Why is someone telling your friend that she's really a boy? I mean, why is it any of anybody's business to tell someone what they are?
It's nobody's business. And I keep saying that to myself. It's like people are like, well, how could you be a proud LGBTQ person? You don't even have the flag around. You can look around here. You will not see a LGBTQ flag. It's because it doesn't matter who I sleep with. It doesn't matter what I do to myself. It has no impact on anybody but me or the person I'm going up and being interested in and asking them out, or they're asking me out. That's the only thing that really matters at that one point in time. So to give you an idea, transgender essentially is two words put together, transitioning gender. And so basically what you're doing is you're going from one to the other. Now, it used to be transsexual. The problem with transsexual is sexualism has everything to do with reproduction. So you cannot change your sex, no matter how hard you try. And that's why I find it really disturbing for a lot of the transgender people, because when they go for it, now they're trying to push, oh, I'm getting my period. Oh, I'm getting some stereotypical thing women get. They're going like that, and they're trying to make it sound like they truly are, and they're not. You can't get a period without a uterus. Now, what you can do is you can get cramps. That's not menopause. That is not a period. That is something that happens with men and women on hormones. And so a lot of people like to try to play it up to make it sound like it's legit, because they're literally trying to affirm themselves. And so where does it stop? That's the problem. Where does it stop? They say that chromosomes don't matter. They say this doesn't matter. They say that doesn't matter. But yet at the end, when they get caught and they get said, okay, well, I got misgendered as a man today. Well, I was wearing my painted fingernails. I have my hair. I have my makeup and I have my clothes. So I thought that didn't matter, but I guess it does. So it's like, make it make sense in when it comes down to it. But a gender fluid, that basically means you feel masculine sometimes, you feel feminine sometimes, you feel nothing at sometimes. So you don't believe that you're a gender at all. And therefore you can be with anything that you want. There are some chemicals like that where if they react, if you put two of them together, they react, but then you can put one and it works with everything. Blood's a good one. O negative blood will work with any blood type. But there are certain blood types that cannot mix to O. Like, I could not donate to an O-blooded person. Go figure. So basically, it's the same type of situation. They can do anything that they want. However, that is where the pronouns come in. That is where the they, them, ze, zer, elf, self, I've even heard. Basically, and I'm going to say this, but I'm probably going to get a lot of heat for it. It doesn't exist. You are either a female or male. You either have the ability to hold a child inside of your body or impregnate a woman. Those are the only two things you can do. You may feel that way, and that's fine. Doesn't mean that you are nothing. Doesn't mean that you're a boy today and a girl tomorrow. It is a thing up here.
Yeah. So, okay. So why? Why?
Good question.
I mean, okay, so you have certain body parts which make you either female or male. Mm-hmm. Done. So your sexuality is what it is. Can't change that, right? The rest is gender, right? So there's sexuality and then there's gender, which is what you feel like being.
Basically, what is associated with the gender.
If you don't want to pick, then you're a they and you make everyone talk in a certain way or you get really mad and dominate them and manipulate them.
You can almost figure out exactly what they are because generally a gender fluid person generally has weird colored hair, the big nose ring out there. They talk, they almost look like they could be feminine and masculine at the same time because they're wearing like a dress, but then they have the big beard and it's really weird stuff like that. They're trying to incorporate everything. But gender is clothing, it's hair, it's makeup, it's muscles, it's body hair, it's things that are associated with a gender, but not necessarily the sex that comes with it. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. So let's say, you know, you're a kid or you're however old you are, and you could put your attention on being a doctor and going to medical school, or you could decide you want to be a rock star and learn music, or you could whatever, be an engineer, all the different like professions or things you want to do or write or whatever. But instead, you put your attention on becoming a different gender or making everyone say they or something. Like, why? I know you probably don't know, but I'm just wondering, why is that what they want to put their attention on? Is it that important? And then how do you ever get on with the rest of your life? You know, when that's the end point, you know, it's kind of like if you're getting married and the end point is the wedding. You haven't really thought about the marriage, you know, you haven't thought about the rest of your life. You're just thinking, I'm going to have this wedding. So it's kind of like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to become this, and then what?
See, that's the problem. And that's why I never let my gender define me. I don't care what people call me. I don't care if people call me a man. I don't care if people call me a woman. I don't care what anybody calls me because it doesn't matter. What matters to me and what makes me who I am is my personality, the things I do for my community and myself, my family, my sense of humor, my natural God-given gifts, whether that be art, technical stuff, being able to crunch numbers, whatever that may be for somebody. If we put that first, none of the rest of it matters. But when you start to look at basically some of the people that are identifying as gender fluid or transgender, what I've noticed is that a lot of them are the weird kids like I was. We weren't socially accepted by many people. Sometimes we didn't have a lot of friends. We were also bullied. Sometimes there's a lot of problems at home. So it's a way of controlling something that they can control, you know, something that they weren't able to control before. It's kind of like when bullies would go ahead and bully people in school only because of the fact that maybe mom and dad were fighting at home. They didn't know what to do with it. So they took it out on other kids at school. It's the same type of ideology behind it, I think.
So it's a way of controlling something and deciding something for yourself because you can't control your home life or something. I get it.
Which is why they get so upset when people don't play along.
Oh, because they can't control them.
And if they do, they are going to make sure that you control it. They will belittle you. They will attack you. They will call you every name under the sun. And sometimes people have even lost their jobs over misgendering somebody at work. And it is bad. And it's because of the fact that that is their control. You cannot take that from them. And therefore, it puts them higher than somebody else. They don't think of it like that. If you talk to them like that, like what I'm saying now, oh, I'll be in a big fight with somebody in a heartbeat. But at the same time, it's really kind of what it boils down to.
Is it sort of like a status thing?
I think it's a status thing, but I also think there's a lot of fetish inside of it too. In fact, I was just about ready to do a video where I talk about non-trans people, yet they're trying to dress up like women and stuff like that. Those are the ones that are really going into the stalls and in the women's bathroom and creating a big ruckus, you know, videotaping themselves and doing all these other things. They don't look like women at all. Like one person said, hey, what can I do to fix my voice? It's the only thing that makes me stand out as being a man, but it looks like a man in a really bad wig. And I'm like, what are you looking at? Cause you don't look anything like something that I would even consider being a woman. And so at the same time, these are what I call non-trans people, but yet they have a fetish. They have a fetish for going into wearing women's clothing. They have a fetish for going into women's spaces. They have a fetish for young kids and other types of things. There is
and
a
men.
Yeah,
these are men.
There is a professor up in Canada, and he likes it. It says he's a trans woman, and he likes to go swimming and compete in swimming with children. 8 to 16 years old. He's 50 years old. And he goes into the locker room and dresses and undresses in front of these little girls. Now, he got really upset when they said, when the mothers and stuff were coming in and trying to block up everybody. Why are you upset about that? You're upset because that was what you got off on, basically what it comes down to. And so, unfortunately, Canada is one of the hardest places to be if you don't want that around you, because they pretty much let anybody get away with anything. This person got no jail time, never arrested, not escorted out. They allow them to continue to do it. But at the same time, these kids are the ones that are being victimized and nobody cares. But this guy, if he goes inside of a men's bathroom, as he says, he will be victimized. And that can't happen. But we can victimize the 8 to 16 year olds. And Ironically, he loses every competition. He's so bad, even the kids beat him. So that's that's what it's saying. There's something else there. And I think that is the fetish that he has for a child. He's basically a pedophile, is what he is.
Right.
But he's able to not touch, but still see and get off what he wants. Gross.
All right. So, okay. I know. Why is this happening? Why is it allowed to happen in society? I don't know, but that's a good question that I think we need to raise. If something's not okay, someone should say something. If the authorities aren't, parents should, kids should. This is not okay. You know, like, it's time to open our eyes and stop pretending weird stuff isn't happening, especially to our kids. But anyway, you wanted to talk to, you know, the kids under 18. I know you were telling me that, you know, they shouldn't be allowed to do anything because kids change their mind. And so go ahead. Take it away.
They do change your mind. When I started in school, you know, and anybody asked me what I wanted to be, I wanted to originally be a vet. Then I wanted to be a writer. Then I wanted to be an artist. Then I wanted to be an architect. Then I wanted to be what I'm kind of doing now. So I changed my mind, five, six times. And the same thing goes with who you are. A good example of that is Shiloh Jolie. The Angelina Jolie's little daughter that came out as trans and was coming out. She let her dress as a boy, let her do whatever she wanted to do, but she was not allowed to do any HRT. And so at the age of 15 or 16, it was not too long ago, all of a sudden, oh, I'm really not a man. Well, guess what? You grow your hair out and change your clothes back and you're fine. So that's why I do not believe that's something we should do unless you're under 18. The other thing is that you got to understand you're developing. So if you suppress if you do the hormone suppressing and I think there's another word for it. I can't remember what it is. Those types of medicines, you're not allowing your bones to develop correctly. you're also, it's going to affect other things, your eyes, your memory, your strength, little things like this that we don't think about. It also does not allow you to develop your reproductive system correctly. So the younger you do it at this point in time, if you change your mind by the time you're 18, 19 years old, the chances of you being fertile are going to be zero. And so at least if you're 18, they can harvest the egg, they can harvest the sperm. And if you decided to change or you wanted to have kids, you could have a biological child. You can't do that being that young. So there's a lot of things about it. Plus that, there is a statistic that came out that says 90% of all children that identify as transgender under the age of 18 will change their mind as after 18 years old, which means out of 10 people that are considered transgender, 9 of them will change their minds, which is a large number. So could you imagine destroying all those 9 people just to affirm them for a short amount of time? It's just not feasible. I have a lot of health issues because of when I started taking the testosterone. Technically, I'm 18, but my body hadn't quite developed yet because I was a late bloomer. So I have a lot of other health issues from it. And I further prolonged it because I gave myself the male side of it when I really needed the female side. So I'm under a lot of testing right now.
So you started with the testosterone at 18 and then you stopped. Mm-hmm. And then how long until you decided that you were a female and you were going to be a female? Like, when was that?
21 years.
Wow.
I never got any different. That was the thing. And that's, I think, what threw a lot of people off. I never changed that much. But at the same time, the hit to the head stopped the testosterone. And during COVID, it didn't stop it. It just slowed it way down. So
what do you mean the hit to the head?
I took a hit to the head. I took a piece of pipe right to the back. Like if you go to where the skull kind of starts to do this and then your neck comes up like this, is right in that crease. And I took a pull to the back when I slid on my floor out here and landed on it. It was basically one of those little things you put a rubber band around it because like my wife had a stroke. So she needed it for strength and to help even the strength on each side. And it stuck out of a magazine case while I slipped and hit that. And so that pretty much stopped everything dead in its tracks. And at that point in time, nothing really started to happen except for I could feel the development of the breast starting again. I had the same sensation I did way back when in my junior year of 96, where
So the hit to the heads like stopped the testosterone from doing its thing. Okay. So
and what it ended up doing was during COVID, I couldn't see an endocrinologist. The guy that I went to before was out of business. He retired years ago. He was an elderly man when I saw him in 96. So I had nowhere to go and I couldn't see any new patients. There weren't any endocrinologists taking new patients. So I just kind of waited it out and see what would happen. When my breast started to get a little bit puffier, my wife came by and right in this chair, reached around, gave me a hug like this. And she goes, "Oh, your chest is like puffy." I said, "Yeah, it's probably just an infection or something like that. I'll go to the doctor." And then I said, "You know what? That's a bold-faced lie. Completely bold-faced lie, because I knew what it was." And so I gave her the option. I could go back on testosterone, but I said it can really impact my multiple sclerosis. On the other hand, I could do nothing. Nothing may happen. This may be as good as it gets. It may get worse. And she goes, "Just be you." So I literally stopped all hormones. I look like this without taking any HRT. And pretty much now I take the HRT because my estrogen was at 190 and my testosterone was staying at 200. So it was only two parts off, not very much. And that was causing me a lot of health problems mentally, physically, all different types of stuff. So I have to be on hormones now, regardless of if I wanted to be a man still or if I wanted to just be who I am now. I have to be on medication the rest of my life because I screwed around and we didn't quite know all the facts when I did it.
And your wife was okay with whatever you became. That's very cool.
In fact, I got them right here. I'll show you this.
Wow.
If you want to know what this kind of screw around and find out is, this is what I have to take every day. And I will be taking it the rest of my life. Wow. This is not something that is just a joke that it can be easily reversed. This is hundreds of dollars, and this is what's keeping me from having major mental issues, mental swings, because obviously if you have low estrogens or testosterone, you go insane, or if it goes too high. I have to go every 3 months to get my blood work done. I mean, it is not a fun life. And yet at the same time, this is what I ended up doing to myself. And this is one of the reasons why I always consider myself ugly, because I have to take this stuff now. It's not necessarily my looks in general. It's what I did to myself and what I can get back and what I can't get back, and medicines, lots and lots of medicines, and those types of things. That's ugly.
So, all right, Emma, we're actually out of time now, but I do want you to, I know you just kind of did give your message. If you, and I would say you didn't do it to yourself, because you know, you were born with a condition, right? You didn't choose it. It was just kind of people did the best they could. I wouldn't say that you chose it. So you can forgive yourself for that one, but that's what I say. But what would you, you know, in closing, what would you want to leave people with? And what would you want to, how would you want to see the world in 5 years?
Well, honestly, I believe that there are real transgender people, and the ones that I know are amazing people. Unfortunately, some of the bad eggs are coming in there and creating a problem for everybody. With the adaptation of a lot of these fetishes that are coming in there and using the trans market, a lot of people that are transgender are being labeled as pedophiles and everything else because of other people's actions. You cannot sit there and say the whole group of people are like that, because they're not. So you need to look into that a little bit differently. Do I believe that there are trans kids? Yes. But at the same time, I don't believe they should do anything until after they know for certain and their body has fully developed. So that way they shouldn't have as many health problems, and then deal with it. And it's okay to take your time. And you also, if you are transgender or anything like that, you don't have to transition to be happy. These are myths that I want to expel just by saying what I did. And I know that I come out a little bit rough on this stuff because I want people to understand my life has been altered completely and I will never be the same. And I don't want somebody to go down that same route. So yeah, I'm going to be a little bit more blunt about things, but at the same time, I do believe that there are truly people out there. And if you have these type of experiences and you want help or you need somebody to talk to, I'm there. I totally am there. And I'm not going to just say, okay, you're transgender. I want you to go to the doctor and see truly what it is and give yourself some time, not just 2 or 3 psychiatric things, a couple years, you know, really do your due diligence on it and then make your decision. Cause I think that's the most important part. We're being silenced on the bad side of it, but just pick up a transgender, a detransition story and you'll find out this stuff is real. And so what they're telling you isn't always true either. So look on both sides of the aisle and just be you. Don't let your gender define you. Don't let your sexuality define you. It doesn't matter who you sleep with or whatever. Just be you. And things will be quite easier in life. You don't have to parade it around. You don't need the rainbow flag. Just be you. And that's enough.
Wow, that's beautiful. Well, thank you, Emma. How would they reach you? I know we can put it in the show notes, but if you just want to say it real quick, how, if somebody, you know, and Emma's safe, you can talk to her. She's been there. She understands. Please do reach out if you have any questions at all, because this is a complicated thing. How would they reach you?
Easiest way to reach me is my name, emmalyndowd.com, and all social media is emmalyndowd. So really easy to find, really good branding and marketing on that one. I'm lucky. And if you want to hear my radio station, it's amfm247.com.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for speaking out. Thank you for being who you are and being yourself and for your, you know, a wonderful message. Thank you so much.
Thank you for watching this episode. I started getting real with Hillary when I discovered that I was a people-pleasing, pleasant phony and wanted to be more of my real self. We can grow together. If you will like the show, subscribe to my channel, and share this episode with your friends and family so that we can have a world that's more real.